So let me add to all the campus pastors and even online to say Happy Father's Day to all you dads. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us in worship. And I want to also say hello to all of our campuses, but I want you to applaud for one particular part that's joining us online. We have a group in Colombia right now. There are about 15 of them, and they're joining in a little village, and it's actually being translated in Spanish. And so we've got our Northmont campus to the north, Springboro that's joining us, Classics is joining us, all of you here in Centerville that are joining us, and then we have those in Colombia and actually around the world. Would you give them a round of applause for joining us right now? Thank you for being with us. We're starting a brand new series, and we're very excited about it, and this series really has to deal with the dichotomy that a lot of us face, and it's this. We look really, really good on the outside, but we're not doing so well on the inside. We might be killing it at work, you might be killing it at the gym, you might be killing it in your bank account, and yet you're collapsing on the inside with very personal issues. Issues that maybe not too many people know about, issues that might be sort of private, and issues that might be in the shadow. And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to be honest with ourselves and say, I am not okay in this particular area, and we're going to shine the light of Jesus in that area and bring that area out from the darkness into the light, and we're going to experience the healing of Jesus. Isn't that great? And so I hope you'll join us for this entire series as we go through this, because we're going to be talking about different things that happen. It is okay to say, I'm not okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And so we're going to try to do something about that during this series, and we're very, very excited about it. Today, I want to talk about loneliness. Loneliness is one of those things where the people that may be close around you may sense it, may see it in your life, but they're really not sure how to define it. You on the inside even may not know how to define it. It's a feeling that some of us don't even know how to even put words to it, and yet it's something that is a very big epidemic happening in our culture today. I'll give you some facts around it. We'll look at a definition about it. We'll look in Scripture. It's very clear in the Bible that there are people in the Bible that experience loneliness. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at a psalm where it describes loneliness there. And at the very end, we're going to look at the words of Jesus and how Jesus tells us how to overcome loneliness. So I hope you brought a Bible with you. I want you to turn with me to Psalms. And if you don't know where that's at and you got a paper version, it's right in the middle. So if you take your Bible and open it right up to the middle, you're probably in Psalms. If you have a device, it's pretty simple. But Psalm 102. Psalm 102. We're going to be looking at a psalm where at the top of it, if you're looking at a Bible that's similar to mine, at the top of Psalm 102, it says that this is a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. So this is a person who writes these words, who is experiencing some things on the inside, and they're lamenting about it. They're confused about it, and they want some answers to it. And what you'll find in the first seven verses is that it describes loneliness. And if you're a person that's experiencing loneliness and you're not even sure how to put words to it, I'm going to try to help you to do that through a definition. But let's read Psalm first, and I want you to see it here. Psalm 102, verse 1. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call you. Answer me quickly, for my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud, and I am reduced to skin and bones. And I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake, and I have become like a bird alone on a roof." You could go on and read the rest of the psalm if you want, because this is a prayer from the psalmist who talks about some of the things that are going on in their lives. But in the first seven verses, it becomes very, very clear that loneliness is something that they're dealing with. And in verse 2, you see that they're hiding their face and they're wondering if God is hiding his face. And so there's a sense of loneliness that's there. Talks about how I'm going through the motions every day. I seem to just go through the motions and it's in a routine and a rut and my bones are kind of rotting and not feeling very good. There's a deep ache on the inside. My bones are like glowing ember. And then it says, I don't even know if I'm eating properly. I don't eat and therefore I'm getting thinner, and you, people, you know that my experience loneliness, they lose their appetite, and they don't want to eat, and they get thinner, and it says in verse 6, I'm like a desert owl, I'm nocturnal. You know what's really interesting is that lonely people have a hard time sleeping, and so they're up at night like a desert owl, or they're like a bird sitting on top of a roof, and they're very, very alone. They're unnoticed, and no one knows them. Might be helpful if we start with a definition, though, because we're going to look at loneliness and some sources of it. But let's start with a definition, and you can jot this down if you want. It's in the notes if you download it on our app. But this is what loneliness is. Loneliness is the feeling of being disconnected or out of touch, a lack of sense of belonging or intimacy. And intimacy there is not just sexual intimacy, although that can happen in a marriage. Intimacy is where people know you and you know them, and there's a sense in which you can be with somebody and you don't even have to even talk, and you know what they're doing and you know what they're feeling, and because there's such an intimate relationship, and you can tell when something is going on in their life, and you can tell when things are not going well in their life because you have that kind of intimacy. And that's what loneliness is. It's feeling empty, isolated, sense of being excluded or left out. And so I want to look in Scripture with you not only at the definition of loneliness, but how do we handle this? How do we deal with loneliness? And are there examples in the Bible of other people who experience loneliness? Because it seems to be a very large epidemic in our culture today. Let me give you a few facts, first of all, about loneliness. Couple things that I found in my research, and you can certainly research for yourself, but as I was thinking about this idea of loneliness, my guess is that if I ask you to raise your hand, that all of us would say at some point or another, we've dealt with loneliness in our life. And that's why I'm calling this message overwhelming loneliness, because there are people where it's so overwhelming that it's impacting their life, just as the psalmist is describing in Psalm 102. But let me give you a couple of facts that I think are pretty interesting about loneliness. Dr. Dilip, who's a professor of psychiatry and neuroscience at the University of California, San Diego, did a huge research and survey on people between the ages of 27 and 101. Ask me why 101, I have no idea. It seems a little random, right? I mean, I don't even know anybody that's 101. How many of you, anybody know anybody that's 101? Okay, we got one or two. Wow, we got a couple people here at the Centerville campus and maybe the other campuses as well. But between the ages of 27 and 101, he did this survey. And in the survey wasn't like, you don't feel lonely, you sort of feel lonely, you feel lonely. There were 20 different options to choose from. So it was a 20-point survey from I don't feel any sense of loneliness at all in my life to there's a deep, overwhelming sense of loneliness. And on that 20-point scale, listen to this, Dr. Dilip found that 76% of people feel a deep sense of loneliness. Now, at all of our campuses and even online, we try to do it, try to welcome you and greet you and so forth. And in all of our campuses, during the middle of the service, if you're relatively new, we love to have you stand and say hello to the people around you and greet them, shake their hand. It's really important for us to experience that kind of a community. But here's what I want you to do. You've already done it. So here's what I want you to do. Just briefly turn to the person to your left. You may not know them. It's okay. Just turn to them and smile. Smile big, as if like to say, you look great today. And then, okay, I think I just lost you. You are dismissed. All right, now turn to the person to the right of you because you may not know them either and smile at them like, you look really good today, right? Look, All right? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you, out of your peripheral vision, I want you to notice the person that's behind you. You probably already shook your hand. Look in your peripheral vision, because most of the time what we find here at Fairhaven is people sit in the same seat. And I want you to look to see, are they sitting in the wrong spot? Like, do we need to call security? Right? Isn't that crazy that happens, right? You probably sit in the same spot within two or three rows every single week. So I know if you're here or not. I'm just telling you, I know if you're here or not. And thanks for being here. I'm noticing who you are and so forth, and you know, it's good to have you. Now, I want you to notice the person in front of you. You can kind of notice if they've got a weird hairdo in the back, or if they've got kind of a balding spot, like if you were to look at mine, you know, right here. Here's the interesting thing. If the research is true, three out of those four people you just looked at are experiencing deep loneliness. It's an epidemic. And the great news is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an answer. We can overcome loneliness. You might be killing it on the outside. You may be killing it in your career, and yet on the inside, you might be collapsing, and no one knows. And the great news is there are answers for you from Jesus. And we're going to turn to that in just a little bit. That's the first fact. Here's the second fact about loneliness, which is kind of an interesting. There are three common seasons of life where people experience the most loneliness. Let me give them to you. The three most common seasons of life. If you're in your late 20s, if you're in your mid-50s, and if you're in your late 80s. How many of you by raised hand fit somewhere in one of those three categories? Can I just see your hand? Just raise them up high. Just hold them up high. Centerville campus, hold them up high. I know some of you are in your mid-50s and you're just not willing to raise your hand. It's just like, we've got a lot of, you know, late 20s. So I know I look like I'm in my late 20s, but I'm in my mid-50s, and so I'll just acknowledge that. But these three seasons, and here's probably the reason why. In your late 20s, you're probably going through transition. You're probably beginning to be an adult, like a real adult, where you're, you know, paying bills and you're seeing that the world is, it's true and it's rough and it's can be a little ugly, and you're figuring it out on your own, and hopefully by your late 20s, you're not living at home. Can I get an amen, parents? Okay. So late 20s, there's transitions that happen there. Mid-50s, typically you're in the prime of your career. You probably have the most set of responsibilities. If you're married and you have kids, you're probably dealing with teenagers or young adults, and that brings a whole lot of other challenges. And so there can be a sense of loneliness, because I talk to a lot of parents, and parents, help me out here. One of the difficulties about parenting is that you often feel like no other parent's going through what you're going through. And yet it's funny, when we get parents together, they're like, wow, really? Like, your kid's doing that? And you sort of feel good, because then you feel like your kid's not, like, you know, off the chart. But then on the other hand, you're like, well, can we figure this out together, right? I mean, so mid-50s. Mid-80s, interesting, if you're in that category, part of the reason why it's the most common season of life is because in the mid-80s, a lot of people are losing their friends. I mean, literally, they're dying. And so there's a sense of loneliness. In their mid-80s, typically they don't get out as much, right? It's maybe more difficult to get out. And so they're at home more, and there's a sense of isolation. And so there's a sense of loneliness that comes with that. Or there's a feeling of dying alone, which, by the way, is a huge epidemic in Japan. They actually have a name for it. I'll give it to you in a second. And so these three common areas, you need to know that if you're in your late 20s, mid-50s, or late 80s, you are in the highest category of the epidemic of loneliness. And so take note of that if you have friends that are in that. Take note of that if you're somewhere in between, that as you crawl into those different age groups, that you might be facing that in your life. Here's something else, another fact about loneliness. That loneliness, according to Dr. Dean Ornish, the founder of Preventative Medicine Research Institute, loneliness is the cause of 50% of heart attacks. He states that because of loneliness and the severe, overwhelming loneliness that some people have in their life, The lack of connection, the lack of belonging, the lack of connection or intimacy with other people and or God, what happens is that that can be part of the reason that a person experiences heart attack. He goes on to say that loneliness is worse on premature death than 15 cigarettes a day. It's worse on premature death than obesity, stress, genetics, physical inactivity, and bad air pollution. So that's a pretty serious health risk. So we ought to talk about it and figure out what Jesus has to say about that. I told you that there's a name for it in Japan, and in fact there is. Here's the fourth fact about loneliness. In Japan, they have a name, it's called Kodokushi. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not. If you've traveled to Japan, or if you know somebody in Japan, or if you're Japanese, you probably know this, that in Japan, it is a phenomenon that is taking place because they have an aging population, that much of their aging population is dying alone. In fact, Kodokushi means die alone, or alone dying. And it's kind of a thing that's happening. You can Google it for yourself, but it's a big deal in Japan and around the world. It's kind of an interesting thing that we should pay attention to in our own culture. And then here's the fifth fact about loneliness, and that's this, that Christ followers or followers of Jesus are not exempt. I want to tell you right off the bat, that if you're struggling with loneliness, and if that's where you are right now, based on the definition, that you feel disconnected, you don't feel a sense of intimacy, and you don't feel a sense of belonging, we want to work really hard as a church to change that for you in terms of personal relationships and connection. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But as we think about loneliness, you need to know that just because you're a Christ follower doesn't mean that you won't or shouldn't face loneliness. You're not exempt from loneliness. The good news is we have the answer, that Jesus gives us the answer for what it is. Now, just to prove that point, let me show you in the Bible several people that experience loneliness. I'll give you a little bit of a list, and you can add to it if you want. Did you know that David experienced loneliness in the Bible? Psalm 25, he says, "I am lonely and afflicted." I mean, he goes right out there and says it, "I'm lonely." When David was a successful warrior, he was a king, he had lots of kids, he had lots of wealth, and apparently that didn't solve the problem, and he had loneliness in his life. Jeremiah, who is a prophet, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 15, and Jeremiah says, "Am I the only one around? I mean, I feel like I'm very alone in this." It's no wonder that Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet in Scripture, because he felt very alone. Elijah, in 1 Kings, you can read about the story about how, remember, the prophets of Baal came, and they built this altar, and they put lots of stuff on it, and then he says, "Okay, call on your gods," and they beat their backs, and, you know, all day, nothing happened. And then Elijah builds an altar, pours water on it, and calls on God, and he just consumes the whole altar. And then all of a sudden, the prophets of Baal were chased and they killed him, and Elijah crawls into a cave and he forgets the whole scene and just cries out to God and says, "Why am I so alone? Why have you left me?" And he feels alone, and it was a real thing for Elijah for a moment. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says that being alone is meaningless, that if you don't have somebody next to you, whether it's marriage or friendship, two are better than one. And then he goes on to say that three actually is a strand that can't be broken, where he's trying to include God in there. And so he says when you add God to the mix, that even makes it even stronger. And so Solomon experienced that. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says that if you've got an unrepaired relationship and you're trying to do nothing about it, it's going to leave you weak and alone. You know who the person that experienced the greatest amount of loneliness in the Bible? I don't know, take a guess. Guess who is the one that experienced the most loneliness in all of the Bible? Jesus. Jesus experienced more loneliness than anyone. So if you're here today and you fall in the 76% category, I got great news for you. First of all, Jesus understands everything that you're going through, and he has an answer for you. That's pretty amazing. I mean, Jesus comes on the scene, and before he comes on the scene, actually, Isaiah chapter 53 says that he's going to be despised and he's going to be rejected. And then he comes on the scene and John describes it and says he came to his own and his own didn't even receive him. Could you imagine if tomorrow you went home, whether you're single, married, retired, and you had family members that are living with you and showed up at the door and said, you're not welcome here anymore. Could you imagine if family called you today and said, you know, it's Father's Day, but this is the last time I'm going to talk to you. I mean, I just can't imagine that. It's exactly what happened to Jesus. He created every one of us. He was part of the creative process, loves us, came to this planet in order to do something amazing, to die on the cross that you and I might be free, and we didn't even accept him. His own town didn't even accept him. Matthew chapter 25 says his disciples actually disappeared and abandoned him. That didn't feel very good. Matthew chapter 27, we read the account of Jesus being on the cross, and it's very interesting. I was reading again as I was studying, and I noticed something very interesting. Jesus was whipped 39 times. And I'm not talking about, you know, some little plastic whip. I'm talking about whip that had iron at the end of it, and I mean, it just would, you know, cut your flesh. He was whipped 39 times. He was beaten. He was tortured. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and it began to bleed. And it wasn't until he was on the cross that he felt the ultimate separation from God. And it's there that he cried. Nowhere else. He cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I mean, the ultimate loneliness is found in the Bible. If you were to turn, and you don't need to do there, because I'm going to have you turn somewhere else. We've been in Psalms, right? And we're going to turn to the New Testament in just a minute. But if you were to turn to the very first page of the Bible, what you would read is this, that God created everything. And he said, it's good. He created the land, it's good. He created the animals, it's good. He created the birds and all the, it's good. He got to Adam, and he created Adam. And as he created Adam in his own image, this is before sin entered the world, he created Adam, and then he said in Genesis 2:18, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. Now, we use that verse a lot at weddings, and we should, because what God did is he brought Eve, and he gave the definition of marriage, and he showed us that it's in that relationship that we have the closest intimacy possible in our human experience. But it also points to something else. Watch this. When God says it is not good for man to be alone, God knew that you and I are hardwired for relationship. That loneliness is devastating. And so you can start from the very front pages of the Bible and you can begin to read and see all these different people. You could read the story of Job. Job was alone. You know how he got through it? He connected with God. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. Let me give you, before we dive into what Jesus has to say, let me give you a couple of sources of loneliness. I gave you the definition, being disconnected and out of touch and, you know, not sense of belonging. But let me give you the sources of loneliness. Why is it that you and I experience loneliness in life? Because there's five categories that really will describe, and if you're not sure if you're lonely or not, and you don't know how to put words to it, it might be that if you've experienced one of these five things in your life, these sources, you might experience loneliness, and the good news is there's an answer for it. So here are the sources of loneliness. Number one, sorrow. Sorrow is a source of loneliness. If you've lost a loved one, there's a terrible sense of emptiness in life. If you've lost a friendship, if you've had a dream in your life and that dream has not been realized, if you've experienced what is a perceived failure in your life, something has happened and everybody around you sees it as a failure, or you see it as a failure and nobody else sees it as a failure, that can be in the category of sorrow, and sorrow is a source of loneliness. That's one source. Here's the second source, isolation from God. When you begin to drift away from God, when you begin to spend less personal time with God. when you know a lot about God, but you don't live it out every day, that's going to create isolation from God. Let me say it this way. There's many of us that are over-churched and under-applied. You know what I mean? Like, we know an awful lot, but we don't apply it in our daily lives. And that creates isolation from God, which is a source of loneliness. Certainly sin is part of isolation from God. When you and I do things that are against God's will in our lives, that creates an isolation from God, and that's a source of loneliness. Rejection is a third source of loneliness. When we feel excluded from a social group, or divorce that can cause a sense of rejection. Isolation, when you isolate yourself from someone or a group of people, or when some group of people isolate themselves from you, that can cause loneliness. And so rejection is a big part of the sources of loneliness in our life. And age can be part of that, because the older you get, the more you feel like you're devalued or forgotten in life. Rejection is a source of loneliness. Number four, insecurity. And we all face insecurity at some level, but insecurity when you feel left behind and you feel ignored or shut out, or when you feel ostracized, or when you feel like you're different than the people around you, and because of that you feel insecure, you feel unnoticed, you feel inferior. Those of us that have retired, retirement can actually cause insecurity, because you were somebody and people needed you, and now you're retired and no one needs you, and that can affect your insecurity. And so insecurity can be one of the sources of loneliness. Here's the fifth one, destructive behavior. When there's destructive behavior in your life, when you're chasing after success over relationships, when there's burnout, when there's conflict and misunderstanding. Did you know that in the UK, loneliness is such a huge problem that in their government, they've actually assigned a minister for loneliness. Her name is Tracy Crouch. She is the minister for loneliness in Great Britain, because apparently it's an epidemic there as well. But we have an answer, church, we have an answer. So take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. These verses, if they're not already underlined in your Bible, ought to be. These verses are verses that my guess is you've heard before, but when you hear them in the context of loneliness, it's profound. And right here in these words of Jesus, we find the secret to overcome loneliness in our lives. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Drop all the way down to verse 28. Jesus is having a conversation. John the Baptist is in prison, and he's confused by that, and so he asks his disciples, or friends, if you want, to go and find Jesus and say, hey, look, am I missing something here? And so they go to Jesus, and Jesus says, now I want you to go back to John the Baptist and tell him, have you not seen miracles? Have you not seen these things that I've been doing? Don't worry. And so they go back and tell him. Now Jesus is talking to a whole crowd of people. He starts off by praying and says, if they see me, they see who the Father is. And if they see the Father, they understand who I am. And then he talks to a crowd, not unlike this, probably maybe smaller than this, I don't know. But he talks to a crowd of people, not just his disciples, a crowd of people, and he says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, what is it, church? Rest. Come to me if you're heavy. Come to me if you're lonely, because loneliness is heaviness. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, when you follow me and the things that I'm asking of you in life, it shouldn't create a difficulty for you. In fact, it's the opposite. It's going to make your life better and make more sense. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's obviously using an agricultural metaphor about a yoke that goes over two oxen, and he uses this metaphor because he wants you and I to be linked to Jesus, because being linked to Jesus is the secret or the answer to overcome loneliness. So jot down, if you will, because these four things are really critical that comes out of what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. That he's saying that if you bring the things that are in the dark, because you might be crushing it personally and collapsing, you know, privately, but if you bring those things that you're collapsing and you bring them out of the shadows and into the light, I can bring healing in your life. And so overcoming loneliness happens these four ways. Number one, we have to admit. You need to admit you're lonely. That's why I took so much time in defining it for you and giving you facts about it and giving you the sources about it, because some of us aren't even willing to admit that, you know what, down deep inside, we're just lonely. And loneliness literally is a killer. And yet Jesus gives us an amazing invitation. He says, come to me. Come to me. He's ready. Come to me. You have to admit that you're feeling lonely. Dr. Gary Collins says that we live in a loneliness-producing society. Goes on to say that these sources that I just cited for you, sorrow, rejection, all those things, these sources create emotional cancer of the soul. So step number one, we just need to admit it. You might need to admit it to your friend. You might need to admit it to your spouse. You know, I'm feeling lonely. That's the beginning place. Here's the second one. This is the primary cause of human loneliness. You ready for this? This is, if you miss everything else, don't miss it. This is the primary cause of human loneliness. Solitude with Jesus. If you want to overcome loneliness, you need time with Jesus. I think it's ironic that to get over loneliness, you need alone time with Jesus. It's kind of strange that you and I need to pull away from the busyness of life, and we need to be solitude with Jesus. We need to spend time alone with Jesus. And I would argue that if you're feeling lonely, chances are that you have drifted from your daily or weekly routine of spending at least 5 to 15 minutes with Jesus, reading his word, asking him questions, and then listening. I had a 16-year-old girl in my office this week, and her parents are going through a divorce, and it's difficult. And so since I went through one in my own life, I know a lot of what she's feeling. And so that's why I asked if I could meet with her. So we sat in my office, and I was just asking her different questions. And then I said, do you feel like this is your fault? And I knew the answer because I knew it for me. And she said, yeah, I feel like it's my fault. And I said, do you feel like Jesus is thinking that it's your fault? And she says, I don't know. And I said, well, how about if we ask him? And she gave me that strange look like, what? So I said, let's ask him. Because here's what Jesus does. Jesus will give you an answer. First of all, I talked to her about her life with Jesus, and she said, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I love him. She says, but I haven't been paying attention because I'm really angry. And I said, do you think he can handle your anger? And she says, I think so. And I said, oh, yeah, he can handle your anger. Read the first 42 Psalms, right? Just take Psalm 1 and read it for 42 days, each one, and you'll discover that God can handle our anger. It's okay. And so we began praying together. And then I said to her, I said, would you do me a favor, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you just ask Jesus, would you just ask him, is it my fault that this is happening in my parents' life? And I said, you just ask him that question out loud, and then I want you to silently just listen. And so that's what happened. Sat in my office. About 30 seconds go by. It felt like an eternity. And all of a sudden, I saw a smile on her face. And I said, did you hear anything? And she said, yeah. I said, really, what'd you hear? She said, it's not my fault. And I said, that's what he does. He talks to us in our spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He talks to us. You want to get over loneliness? It's going to take solitude with Jesus. That is the primary human cause of loneliness. You need Jesus in your life, and you need to spend time with him. It's interesting how you can have all kinds of people around you. You can have groups of people around you. You can even be married. You can be single. You can be a popular kid at high school. You can be like part of the team at college and still feel immense loneliness. And the answer or overcoming loneliness is solitude with Jesus. Can I challenge you, church? Can I challenge you that over this summer, as we go through this series and then go into another one at the end of the summer, as we go through this series, can I challenge you to make a decision today in all of our campuses, everybody here, can I challenge you to make a decision today that you're going to spend between 5 and 15 minutes alone with Jesus, and you're just going to talk to him and read his word and see the changes that take place? Might be pretty powerful. That's the first or second way that we overcome loneliness. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And rest is not a sense of, you're not tired anymore, although that's part of it. Rest is a sense of where your soul is at rest. Here's the third way to overcome loneliness, and that is to seek friendships, seek relationships with godly people. That's exactly why here at Fairhaven Church, we talk a lot about you getting into a small group. Because it's when you're in a small group and people get to know you and you get to know them, there's this sense in which, in fact, you probably could talk to somebody who's already in a small group and they would tell you that, yeah, I don't feel that lonely. I got a great group of people around me. Here's the interesting thing. You can have a great group of people around you, but if you violate the solitude with Jesus, you can still feel lonely. Are you with me, church? You got to do both. Both are important. You need the solitude with Jesus, but you need to be in relationship. And that's why we have, the opportunity for you at every single campus for you to stop by if you want and just ask inquisitive questions about how you can get into a small group so that you can develop relationships and friendships with godly people. It's just that important. And then number four, here's how you overcome loneliness. You accept a situation that you can't change. And you call on God for help. So many of us are living in the past. And part of the loneliness is because of something that happened 5 years ago, 2 years ago, a week ago. And all of that guilt and shame and all the things that happened there, come into our lives today. And what I would say to you, that part of getting over loneliness is understanding that if you yoke up with Jesus, and you walk with Jesus in the solitude of your own life and in relationship, you just need to accept what you can't change, and you need to call on God's help. And loneliness dissipates. Let me end with this. Loneliness is heavy, but Jesus promises to give us rest. He promises to be with us. He's told his disciples, I'm never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. I will be with you till the very end of the age. What a great thing that is. Would you just bow with me for a minute? Because either you're lonely or you know somebody that's lonely. The statistics are too high. And would you just connect with God? And why don't you, like a 16-year-old girl, why don't you just ask him a question and say, God, would you speak to me today? To let me know that you're there, that you're with me. And then listen. Father, thank you that through Jesus and your Spirit, that you meet us right where we're at. And the fears, and the anxieties that produce loneliness can be chased away. I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts individually, that you would talk to us, that in our hearts, in the chamber of our hearts and our minds, that you would say things that we need to hear today from you. We believe you could do that. We believe you want to do that as our Savior and as our Lord. We pray, Father, that we might draw ourselves to you to admit our need. And as we spend time with you and develop relationships, that, Father, loneliness would disappear. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.